What's up, people? I'm Sydney Gant. This is Break the World, and we are back at it again. I want to start off by thanking everybody that has listened to the first two episodes. You are Break the World Real Ones for that. And we got at least one review on iTunes, which you can be a part of. Wherever you're listening to this podcast, iTunes, Spotify, give us a rating, give us a review, preferably iTunes or Spotify. But if you're digging what's happening over here on Break the World, show a little love. But for now, I want to give a special shout out to the first reviewer on iTunes, Jorge, showing up like my father never did. You the man, Jorge. Or George. It's spelled J-O-R-G-E, and you never know if that name is pronounced Jorge or George. Right, but I will say this. The Jorge-George combination, that's a great name evolution combo. I've always felt that names should evolve like Pokemon names. You should have a younger name and an older name. Like Jorge for when you're young, George for when you're older. Like you can be a little bit of an older guy named Jorge, but you don't want to be an elderly man named Jorge. He's a pervert. And you definitely don't want to be a kid named George. You should never name your kid George. That is child abuse. Like a kid named George? That's insane. Anytime there's a kid with that name, every adult says the same thing about that kid. They're always like, he's such an old soul. Look at him. He's got such an old soul. He doesn't have an old soul. His name is just George. George is an old soul. You gave him the soul of a man named George. You can't do that to a kid. I don't care how old a person is. If you name them George, that is a tax-paying citizen. All Georges have to pay taxes. That is a fact. You know, one of my closest friends is a guy named Tanner. Which is crazy that I have to call this adult man Tanner. You don't think of an adult man when you say Tanner. Tanner is definitely the name of a little white kid with a big head and holes in his jeans that he wore away from hard play. That's Tanner. I had to explain that to my kids one time. Because one time I was dropping too many of my insane theories on my wife. And anytime I'm overwhelming my wife with the things that are coming out of my mouth, she always says to me, when was the last time you talked to Tanner? Have you talked to Tanner recently? You should probably go talk to Tanner. And one time she was saying that to me and my son was like, Tanner? And they'd be like, yeah, Tanner is my friend. He's my age. He's an adult. He's my age. Don't worry. You're not being replaced. Don't worry, son. I don't have another family with a child named Tanner. Relax. He's a grown man. He can't be Tanner anymore. He's in his 40s. That's ridiculous. You got to be Titus or Thor or something. Your name has to evolve. My dad has one of those names that has a natural evolution. His name is Robert, but he grew up being called Bobby and refuses to evolve. He needs to evolve. He's in his 70s and he's still called Bobby. He still goes by Bobby. It's like, you're not a Bobby anymore. It's time to grow up, old man. You can't be Bobbying around town anymore. You're Robert now. You have grandkids. I got pretty lucky with the evolution of my name because my name is Sydney. But I wasn't called Sydney all throughout my childhood. I was called Scotty. I had the nickname Scotty. Because Sydney is definitely not the name of a young boy. Sydney is the name of an older man or a young girl. That's it. Your name has to evolve. You cannot have that name throughout your entire life if you're a girl. And you cannot start off with that name if you're a boy. You have to have Pokemon evolution names. It's a must. Like an older woman named Sydney? That's insane. That just doesn't work. If you are past the age of 40 and your name is Sydney, you have to change it to Edna. You're Edna now. Even if you think of the famous Sydneys that you know, it's either a young woman or an old man. It's either Sydney Sweeney or Sydney Poitier. That's it. There are no middle-aged women Sydneys that you know that are famous. And there's no young men Sydneys that you know that are famous. It just doesn't happen. I think Sydney Poitier was born old. He was like George. Sydney Poitier was a boy George. Which is crazy because even boy George had to put the word boy in front of his name to let you know that he wasn't an old man when he was young. I'm boy George. I'm a young boy George. But the point that I'm making is be like Jorge or George, depending on how old you are, and give us a review or a rating on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you're listening to this, but preferably iTunes or Spotify. So I want to talk about this right away, because if I don't talk about this right away, I'll feel like I'm hiding it. And there's no way to finesse this, so I just have to come right out and say it. But I recently shit my pants, which anytime you shit your pants as an adult, it's very humbling. And you have to take a moment to reassess your life. It is always very humbling when you have to reset your shit your pants incident counter back to zero. Your shit sitting counter? It doesn't even matter how high the number was before you have to reset it. You can't even take pride in the fact that you got your number up so high, because you are at this low, low moment of resetting it back to zero. Your shit sitting counter is now at 0 days since your last shit sitting. And this is going to stick with me for the rest of my life, because it happened on a palindrome date. It was 4/24/24, and that is the same date forward and backwards. Right? We all have at least one autistic trait in life, and my one autistic trait is that I love palindromes. I love anything that is the same backwards and forwards. I had one palindrome birthday, and I couldn't wait for it. I was so pumped. I was so happy that I lived to see my palindrome birthday. It was 6/17/16. My birthday is June 17th, so 6/17/16 was my palindrome birthday. And then the other significant event for me that happened on a palindrome day was me shitting my pants. Not only was it a palindrome day, but it was also Whopper Wednesday. I'll never forget this day, because I was scarfing Whoppers all day long. I was going through a phase where I was destroying Whoppers every single day. And on Whopper Wednesday, I was going ham on Whoppers. And because of the tragic events that ensued, this phase only lasted 2 Whopper Wednesdays. I could only make it 2 Whopper Wednesdays before I had to reset my shit sitting counter back to zero. I almost made it to the next day. This happened to me late at night. I already had my daytime Whopper for lunch, and now I was having my late night Whopper Wednesday nightcap, which was 2 Whoppers. And Whopper Wednesday was the only day that I was having 3 Whoppers a day. The other days, I was just having 1 Whopper for lunch, and that was it. But it was Whopper Wednesday. I was having my nightcap. I go to the drive-thru. So like it's like 11:15. I order my 2 Whoppers. 2 Whoppers, no mayonnaise, no lettuce, add Swiss cheese. That's my way. And the guy at the drive-thru goes, "What size meal would you like to make those?" And I go, "Just the Whoppers, man. I'm good." And he goes, "It's Whopper Wednesday. It's actually cheaper if you get the meal." Now, I've never been one to pass up a bargain. So I'm going to get the meals, and I'm only going to eat one of the fries. So I go, "All right, man, let me get 2 mediums." And then he goes, "Well, the deal only works for small." Why not just give me the small? I didn't even want the fries. And now you're making me have to solve a riddle to get these fries? Just give me whatever fries goes with the deal that I didn't even want in the first place. Like, why do you have to make this a brain teaser for me? So I get my 2 Whopper meals, start scarfing down a Whopper right away. I'm not even 25% of the way home before I realize that I have something that might not quite be a fart, right? It's one of those situations where this could be a little more than a fart, but it also might just be an explosive fart. So now, even though I realize that this could be more than a fart, there was too much pressure for me to get all the way home like this. So I had to release some of the pressure. So I tried to sneak some fart past it. I had to seep it a little bit. And when I went to seep it, there was an immediate temperature change in my pants. It was so much more than a fart. And I still had at least 75% of my journey home. I finished my Whopper. Not only did I finish my Whopper, I ate the other one. In the meantime, between shit in my pants and home, I ate a Whopper and a half. I shit my pants, then ate a Whopper and a half before I did anything about it. Listen, there was a time in my life, like between 15 and 20 years ago, when I was at least 275 pounds. And shitting my pants, then eating a Whopper and a half before I could get home and do anything about the fact that I just shit my pants was easily the fattest thing that I've ever done. There is nothing that comes even close to shitting my pants than eating a Whopper and a half with shit in my pants. And the fattest thing about it is that at one point I was enjoying the Whoppers so much, I almost forgot that I shit my pants. Almost. I was very close to getting comfortable. I was almost a person that shit his pants on the way home, was eating a Whopper and a half with shit in his pants, and got comfortable. Oh, man. 4/24/24, baby. Never forget. I'll never forget it. And if I could go back in time and change only one thing about it, the only thing that I would change about it is I would not tell my family about it. I told my family about it, and they will not stop bringing it up. The other day, I called all my kids downstairs because I wanted them to fold clothes. And I called them, and they came running downstairs. They never come running downstairs when I call their names. They do that thing that all kids do when a parent calls their name, is they slowly gather themselves and walk slowly down the steps because they know they're going to have to do something. But not this day. They came running down the steps, and I go, all right, kids, fold clothes. And my daughter was like, oh, I thought you were going to tell us that you pooped your pants again. They were so pumped at the idea that I was about to drop another shit incident on them that they came running down the steps to get the good news. That's good news for a kid. Finding out that your dad shit his pants, that is tremendous news. You can bring that up at any moment and completely destabilize anything dad has going on. And it's making me immature because I can't wait till one of them shits their pants. Just to even the playing field. I am a grown man hoping that my way too old to shit their pants kids shits their pants so we can be even. And now I don't even feel comfortable calling my wife anymore. Because every time I call her on the phone, I start talking. She waits for me to stop talking and she goes, oh, I thought you were going to tell me you shit your pants again. I don't want to call her anymore. I have to wait for her to call me every time now. It is hard to come back from shitting your pants as an adult, but I am back on the rise. I'm feeling good again. I'm back to 100% confidence levels because I just discovered the perfect lighting for me. I just discovered the lighting that makes me the most handsome, which is very low light. Put me in the dimmest light possible, like dim enough where you can actually still see me, but like so dim that you couldn't read words from a book. That is when I'm the most handsome. I am crushing it in dim light. I couldn't believe it the other day when I noticed myself in the mirror in low light. It was like, who is that guy? Who is that handsome man looking back at me? Is he even looking at me? I can't tell. It's so dark. When I realized how good I looked in low light, so many things started making sense to me. Like all of a sudden, I start to understand dimly lit restaurants. A dimly lit restaurant is for people that don't have enough money to make them handsome. So they have to take a date to a dimly lit restaurant so they can actually be handsome. It also made me start thinking about vampires too. Because the lore of vampires is always that they're these handsome, debonair men. But they only come out at night. I'm pretty handsome too. And the only light that you can see my face with is coming from the moon. That's why vampires hate light. It doesn't melt their faces. That's what their faces look like when you can see them in the light. You flick a light switch on a vampire and you're like, my riz. They lose all their game in the light. And I'm not hating or trying to expose vampires. I'm just saying you got to find what makes you handsome. They found what makes them handsome. You got to find what makes you handsome. If you're only handsome in low light, you got to be a low light guy. I'm a low light guy now. I get it. That's why I don't hate on people that still wear those COVID masks. I don't hate on it because some people that wear those COVID masks are being annoying about the disease and the fucking virus or whatever. But some of those people that are wearing the COVID masks, they realize that they're only attractive from the middle of the nose up. I get it. Some people from the middle of the nose up are very attractive. Like Melina from Mortal Kombat 2. Melina and Katana, there's a lot of Melinas and Katanas out there that are only pretty from the middle of the nose up. Guys, too. It's not just women. You got to find what works for you because everybody can't be a low light guy. Like some people look creepier in low light and some people look creepy from the middle of the nose up. Like, I'm not a middle of the nose up guy. I have really intense eyes and really intense eyebrows. You don't want to see me just from the middle of the nose up. You need to check me out in low light where it obscures some of my more intense features. I'll put it to you this way. In low light, I am probably handsome enough that I could be the actor that plays me in a movie about my life. Not in regular light. It'd have to be a very dimly lit movie for me to be able to play me in the movie about my life. Oh, on that, I just saw they're making a movie about the life of Amy Winehouse, and I saw a trailer for it. And the actress that is playing Amy Winehouse is unnecessarily hot. She is so hot. There is no reason the actress that is playing Amy Winehouse should be that hot. With all due respect. R.I.P. Amy Winehouse. You were a cultural icon. With all due respect. But one of the cultural appeals of Amy Winehouse is that she wasn't one of those typical Hollywood vixens. She was like an everywoman. And the actress that is playing Amy Winehouse is so hot that it's almost an insult to Amy Winehouse. It's like, even though one of the cultural appeals for you was that you weren't hot, we don't want you to be that not hot in your movie. Because that was a big deal when she was popping. Because we got three of them. We got three super talented people that weren't that hot. It was Amy Winehouse, Adele, and Lady Gaga. And they were all tremendously talented, but none of them were hot. And we all got to feel good about ourselves for enjoying the talent of these women who weren't even hot, with all due respect. R.I.P. Amy Winehouse. They could have found an actress that looked exactly like Amy Winehouse. There are so many women that look exactly like Amy Winehouse. Look, there are so many people that look exactly like Amy Winehouse that at least one of them has to be an amazing actress. At least one of them. One of them is an amazing glassblower. One of them is an amazing welder. Listen, and I'm not saying that every single person that looks exactly like Amy Winehouse is amazing at something. I'm just saying there's a lot of them that there's at least one of everything. Amy Winehouse was two of something. She was a prolific drug and alcohol user, and she was an amazing singer. She was two of something. And she had a weird body, too. I don't know if you remember that. Amy Winehouse had a weird body. It was probably because she was using so many drugs and alcohol. But she took skinny fat to a whole new level. She was like emaciated fat. She had like zero body fat and saggy skin at the same time. It was like her skeleton was saggy. Like she had saggy bones or something. Amy Winehouse had saggy bones. That could have been her name. She could have been named Saggy Bones and nobody would have batted an eye. Everybody would have been like, oh, Saggy Bones, I get it. It's because of the way she looks, right? Her body, Saggy Bones. They try to send Saggy Bones to rehab and I was like, no, no bones. Saggy Bones is a pretty sick name. And I'm not trying to insult Amy Winehouse. I'm trying to make a point. Like, if you did a casting call for women that looked exactly like Amy Winehouse, you would have to rent out a stadium to house all the applicants. If you did a casting call for women that looked exactly like the actress that is playing Amy Winehouse, you would get like 30 to 50 women, and not one single one of them would look like Amy Winehouse. With all due respect, R.I.P. Amy Winehouse. You were a cultural icon. Saggy Bones. The more I say Saggy Bones, the cooler it sounds as a nickname. It kind of sounds like the name of a famous jazz musician, like a famous jazz saxophonist who's crushing it all over the world. Or maybe it would be somebody who played the piano like Saggy Bones. I don't know. I might steal that nickname. That might be me. That's me now. I'm Saggy Bones. If you see me in the street, you can call me Saggy Bones, and then I'll know you're a real one that listens to the Break the World podcast. Let's go. I'm Saggy Bones now. Man, I can't wait to see the actress that plays the adult version of Greta Thunberg. I can say this now because she's 21, but I recently saw a clip of Greta Thunberg being arrested because she was protesting somewhere, and she had quite the pair of titties on her. She grew quite the pair of titties. And they were like protester titties, too. They were all over the place. They were unholstered, free-range, cage-free, autistic titties. I almost forgot that she was on the spectrum. I don't know what the ethics are on ogling somebody's titties who was on the spectrum, but man, we need two different spectrums for her. We need like a neurodivergent spectrum and a titty spectrum for her. Because her titties are definitely on the spectrum. She's deep into the titty spectrum. You got to see these things. She's all tits sick. She got some sick tits, man. And good for her, too. I don't know how that's going to help her in her endeavors, but good for her. Because I don't even know why we propped her up as a celebrity in the first place. I get it now. It's the titties now. But before, it was like, why? Because she was like a young girl crying about global warming? That doesn't move me in any capacity. Now, with her 21-year-old titties, now she's on the spectrum that gets my attention. She's on the sick tit spectrum. And even though she's all tits sick, I guarantee you she probably still has a flat Asperger's. There's not a protester in the world that has a sick ass because they sit down too much. They do too many sit-ins. You never see protesters out there doing jump squats for global warming. Because you don't need a sick butt. A sick butt is just icing on the cake. Titties are what move the world. I think one of my favorite breed of humans out there are celebratory titty shakers. You know exactly who I'm talking about. That's a very specific breed of woman that out there that shakes her titties to celebrate things. You know what I mean? Like you would see her at games, at sports games and stuff. I watch a lot of track and field. And at European track meets, there's always some woman in the crowd holding up a sign above her head and shaking her titties. Not that she has her titties out, but she's shaking her titties with her sign to get attention from the camera. Those are some of my favorite people. I don't feel like those people are propped up enough by society. Man, it's got to be tough for people that are genetically celebratory titty shakers, but we live in a society where we have to keep those titties covered. That's got to be so tough for them. They live in a society that is fighting against their natural programming. I think that's why we as a society let slide those scheduled days where women get to walk around with their titties out. You know, like tits out for breast cancer or whatever cause they're walking around with. I don't even know what the causes are. I just know that a couple times a year, women walk around topless and I support it. There is not a cause in the world that I would support dongs out for America. You better put those things away. If a bunch of men were walking around with their dicks out for some sort of cause, I suggest we pepper spray them. Get the riot police down there right now. That's a riot. I don't care how peaceful they're being. A bunch of men walking around with their dicks out, that is a riot. And they need to be dealt with accordingly. That is a show of violence. And that's just me just appreciating. I'm not even a titty guy. I'm more of an ass man myself. And I know exactly why that happened, too. The story's actually pretty crazy. So when I was a kid, the summer between third and fourth grade, I was hit by a car. Which, if you're living in the hood, is kind of a rite of passage. Everybody knows one person from the hood that was hit by a car. And when I turned 18, I got settlement money for that. I got $22,000 when I turned 18 from getting hit by a car. And that money was gone within a year. I completely blew that money in less than a year. $22,000 just gone. Like, if you gave me $22,000 now as a man with three kids, that money would still be gone in a year, but it wouldn't be blown. You know what I mean? It would be rightfully spent. Like, if I got $22,000 now as an adult and next year I still had that $22,000, I would be considered a deadbeat dad. But at 18, getting $22,000 and then not having any of that by the time you're 19, that is blown money. So I got hit by a car when I was a kid, and I was in the hospital for pretty long. I was in traction, had my arm shattered, had my pelvis cracked open. So I was in traction with my arm, I was in traction with my legs, and I had to get sponge baths every day from hot nurses, which is a wild experience to have at 9 years old. I was basically living like a Persian king at the age of 9 years old, having these hot women give me sponge baths. So you might not know this, but in the 80s, nurse scrubs were dresses. They were these one-piece skirt dress combination thing. And they had buttons. They were button-ups, which doesn't seem like much because fabric and button technology has come such a long way, especially for women's clothes. But back then, women clothes fabric was basically cardboard. So the button that was above the tits and below the tits would create this like peephole in the woman's shirt that you could always see inside of it and see tits. So I would be getting these sponge baths from these hot nurses, and I could see through the hole in their shirts. I could see their titties every single time. It was maybe one of the best times of my life. And that was just all across the board in the 80s for women's shirts that had buttons. For every button-up shirt that a woman wore, if she had titties, there was a little titty peephole. Like the titties were driving around in a moonroof, and you could see that through that hole. You could see the titties. And everybody who's around my age knows exactly what I'm talking about. Anybody that grew up going to school in the 80s got a glimpse of their teacher's titty meat just because of the shirt button technology. And so I was getting these sponge baths every day, and I remember having to resist getting a boner because this hot nurse's titties were sponge bathing me. And I was only 9 years old. I didn't have any of the tactics that I know now to not get a boner, like thinking about baseball or all these other tricks that you would learn later on, like in middle school and stuff. I had no tactics, so I'd basically just hold my breath to make sure no blood circulated to my boner. I almost passed out every single time I got a sponge bath. Like, every time I got a sponge bath, I went code blue because I almost died from asphyxiation every single time I got a sponge bath because I was trying not to get a boner. And I remember one time my mom came to the hospital because she would come visit me in the morning before she would go to work. She would always work in these nursing homes. So my mom would actually show up in scrubs as well because she was going to work in a nursing home. So one day she showed up and she asked me very specifically, "Does it make you uncomfortable to have these strange women giving you sponge baths?" And I didn't know how to answer that question. I was 9 years old. I didn't know how to tell my mom, "Actually, mom, it's the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I wish that it could happen more. Honestly, I feel like I'm fortunate to have been hit by a car so that I could have this experience of being sponge bathed by these hot women nurses." I couldn't say that to my mom. I had no idea how to even answer that question. So I was just quiet. And my quietness to her was an answer. And she was like, "I knew it. Don't you worry, baby. I'll start giving you your sponge baths." And that's what she did. Every day, she would show up and she started giving me a sponge bath, and I hated it. There was no reason to fucking do anything to not get a boner about that. I would get the opposite of a boner about that. I had a vagina. Every single time my mom gave me a sponge bath, I tranced. It was horrific. I was this close, millimeters away from having a healthy, hot nurse titty fetish. But instead, I had my mom sponge bath me going, "You know, I'm basically a nurse too." It was horrific. That's why I'm not a titty guy, I think. My mom never had an ass. I'm an ass guy. Yeah, my mom was one of the rare black women that never had an ass. I was pretty fortunate about that. I actually have a pretty ridiculous theory about mom tits. Hear me out. I feel like if you got along with your mom, like if you were a mama's boy up until puberty, then whatever titties your mom had are the titties that you seek out in a woman. But if you and your mom had tension before puberty, you seek out the opposite of your mom's titties. So if you had a mom with small titties and you didn't get along, you seek out those bazongas. You're a bazonga hunter. But if your mom had bazongas and you didn't get along with her, you seek out those athletic tits. And I'll be honest with you, I was a mama's boy up until puberty. So my wife has proportionately pretty much the same titties as my mom. I'll admit that. My wife and my mom have the same proportion. They're not the same size. My mom is a midget. And my wife is like 5'7", 5'8". But my mom is like 5 feet tall. Like, if she's even 5 feet tall. But proportionately, if you like drag my mom out to be the same size as my wife, they would have the same titties. I'm very curious to find out how that theory applies to other people's lives. I haven't really put that, this is my first time putting that theory out into the world, so I'm very curious to see how that comes back to me. Because I know people don't like to think about their mom's titties, because I try to ask my friend Tanner about this, you know, Tanner, who has a name that doesn't match his age. I try to ask my friend Tanner about this, and he tried to pretend like he had no idea what his mom's titties look like. I know goddamn well he knows what his mom's titties look like. He has a wife. He knows what his wife's titties look like, of course, but he tried to act like he couldn't make the comparison between his wife's titties and his mom's titties, and it pissed me off. So if you're a man and you're married, this is your homework assignment. Think about your wife's titties and think about your mom's titties and how similar or dissimilar they are. And then I want you to think about what your relationship with your mom was up before puberty. And let me know whether or not my theory applies or does not apply. And I know I just spent a lot of time talking about women's tits, but I promise you I'm not a misogynist. even though I'm very mean to women on the road. Well, maybe I'm not mean to them, but I definitely troll women drivers when I see them experiencing a cultural insecurity. Because if you're a woman driver and you do something messed up on the road that other people can see, that has to be one of the most insecure moments. And that's when I shake my head at them, right? Because we all have cultural insecurities. I have some. I don't like eating chicken in front of white people. I don't do it. Especially white people that I don't know that well. Like if you invite me to a cookout, I'll eat everything else but fried chicken. I'm not going to eat fried chicken at your cookout. Or if I go out to eat with a bunch of friends and some friends of friends and we don't all know each other super well, I'm not going to eat fried chicken in front of your friends. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. But I will if I go to a restaurant with my family, even though if I go to a restaurant with my family, I will have a white woman at my table because my wife is white. I'll eat fried chicken there if the fried chicken dish looks good, even if there are other white people at the restaurant. Like, that's not my issue. I'm just like in a gathering where we're all together. I'm not going to be the example of a black person eating fried chicken for you, which is kind of an odd thing to say, because even though I have such an issue eating fried chicken at gatherings, I have such an addiction to eating fried chicken on the bone in my car. I do it so often. Like, I'll get fried chicken. Like, I love grocery store fried chicken. And every time I get grocery store fried chicken, when I'm driving home, I'll pop that container open and I'll start eating a piece in my car. No tinted windows, just eating fried chicken driving around, which must look ridiculous. Like, white people are probably driving by seeing me eating fried chicken on the bone in my car. And they're like, well, I guess I can tell nobody about that. That's definitely something nobody's going to believe if I told them. That's just going to make me look racist. Could you imagine trying to retell the story of you seeing a black man with a box eating fried chicken in his car? Everybody would be like, dude, get the fuck out of here. Why are you doing this? But everybody has at least one cultural insecurity. I have a brother that's like 5'6". He's short and he doesn't like being seen not being able to reach things in public. Like if my brother's in a grocery store and he can't reach something from the high shelf, he just doesn't get it. He just won't have that thing. He'll just go home with an incomplete grocery list. If I go to the grocery store and there's something on the high shelf that I can't reach, I'll climb. I love having a reason to climb the shelves on a grocery store. My brother would not be caught dead climbing shelves at a grocery store. That is such a cultural insecurity for him. He would never do that. And honestly, he probably won't do that because of people like me, because I do that to anybody that I see experiencing a cultural insecurity. If I saw a short person climbing the shelves at a grocery store, I would make sure they see me and I just shake my head at them. Just, I fucking knew it. I think that's what we should all be doing. I think we should all be shaking our heads at people that are experiencing cultural insecurities. Maybe that would help eradicate cultural insecurity. I'm having a good time here, but there is something I definitely wanted to talk about. Not a deep dive, but maybe we can call this a shallow dive, right? Like, a deep dive is something that is well-researched ahead of time, and a shallow dive is something that is just going to pretty much be my opinion. But I was talking the other day with somebody about watchable and unwatchable female sports, because the topic started because of the WNBA. They recently had the WNBA draft, and anytime they have the WNBA draft, we always start talking about whether or not the people in the WNBA are paid fairly compared to the people in the NBA. I'm not going to even get into that discussion, even though I will say they should lower the rim. That might make it a watchable sport, but as it is right now, it is an unwatchable sport, and that's because you can see, because the rim is the same height for the men, you can see the lack of athleticism. So for watchable female sports, you need a sport where you cannot see the difference in athleticism from one sport to the next. So watchable female sports. Now, I know I'm being biased, but I think the most watchable female sport is women's grappling. And I'm biased because my wife is a female grappler and I do jiu-jitsu, and that's a large part of my life. But I'm telling you, man, there is no drop off in watching women grapple than there is in watching men grapple. And sometimes there's actually a little bit of a more exciting match because women can do things with flexibility that men can't do. Women's gymnastics, right? Watchable female sport. I put it to you this way about women's grappling too. I don't really like watching women's MMA so much because there is something in the striking that is so vastly different than the men. once, like, I just don't feel like a woman can knock me out with one punch. I could be very wrong about that. I more than likely have a weak chin, but I just don't think there are many women out there that can knock me out with one punch. I feel like every single man in the MMA could knock me out with one punch. So I'm having this conversation, and then I started to realize that every watchable female sport is kind of gay for men's sports, right? Like women's grappling, very watchable female sport. Men's grappling, kind of gay. It's just kind of gay. It's like two men in spandex wrestling with each other, putting their balls on each other's faces and stuff. It's kind of gay. Women's gymnastics, watchable. Men's gymnastics, why do they run like that? No man should run the way a male gymnast runs. That is inappropriate. Women's tennis, watchable female sport. Men's tennis, I don't understand why they grunt like that. It sounds like gay porn. You gotta stop that. Women's tennis, that's an appropriate sound that they make. Yeah, so if I had to start listing what the gayest men's sports were, definitely men's grappling. So jiu-jitsu, men's jiu-jitsu is number one. Men's wrestling is number two. MMA will have to be an honorable mention because sometimes the fights never go to the ground. But there's an opportunity where every MMA match will turn into one of the gayest sports possible because the grappling happens. Now, here's the tough one. Because I do feel like women's track and field is a very watchable sport. And I don't know how gay men's track and field is. Like women's track and field and men's track and field might be the cusp of watchable female sports and not gay men's sports. It might be the only one that translates that way. Now I say that even though a lot of the men that do track are gay. There's a lot of homosexuality in men's track, even though I don't consider it that gay of a sport. That is a little bit of a paradox. I can't help that. And listen, I want to be very clear about this, because just because I'm saying that a sport is gay doesn't mean that I don't also enjoy it. I love jiu-jitsu. I love wrestling. And if you can't enjoy something just because it's a little sus, you're probably gay. You're probably so on the line that any subtle wind will blow you into homosexuality. All right, so number three, figure skating. Figure skating is definitely a gay sport, not just because of the bedazzled clothes, which doesn't help, but any sport where you end the sport by striking a pose is pretty gay. Men's gymnastics, I would have at four. I would say five, I would probably put men's tennis because, again, the homoerotic grunting, it's pretty gay. Six, men's volleyball. I would put men's volleyball at six. And that's a pretty unique gay sport because women's volleyball is basically porn and men's volleyball is gay because it's not women's volleyball. So I almost want to absolve myself of the responsibility of keeping track of these numbers, but I'll try. At seven, I think I would put men's field hockey. I can't believe that men even play that sport. It is ridiculous that even women play that sport. The sticks are not long enough. You have to play that sport with ridiculous posture. You're basically bent over the whole entire sport. That's gay. You can't be a man and play in a sport where you're bent over for most of the sport. Which again, double back to men's wrestling. All right, what number was I? I think I was at eight. At eight? I think I would put cricket, which is basically gayer baseball, which is already pretty gay. Basically, almost every European sport is pretty gay. Soccer, cricket, curling, they're all pretty gay. So we'll lump those all together in one. Those are all at number eight. Number nine, I think I would put rugby at number nine. And I know it's a pretty tough sport, but that scrum is pretty sus. And nobody ever said that tough things can't also be gay. Rugby is a tough sport, but that scrum is pretty sus. Rugby is the ninth gayest sport. And 10, I guess this would be my top 10s list. Maybe 11, because Cycling is pretty gay, and that wasn't going to be my last one. So we'll put cycling at 10. And then number 11, men's diving. There's just something off about jumping into water and trying not to make a splash. It's pretty gay. Like, I get it if a woman jumps into a pool and tries to not make a splash. That's demure, right? But a man trying to jump into water and not make a mess seems pretty gay to me. I feel like men's diving should be trying to make the biggest splash possible. If men's diving was trying to make the biggest splash possible, I would even look past the fact that they wear Speedos to do it. If they were trying to get the audience wet, I would take that off of my top 11 gay list. So those are my top 11 gayest sports. But I do want to circle back to the WNBA for a second, because I feel very strongly that they should lower the rim. And a lot of times when you hear people make this argument, they'll use the average vertical jump in the WNBA, which is between 12 and 15 inches, and the average vertical jump for the NBA, which is 28 inches. And they'll try to use those to proportionate, if that is even a word, how you should lower the rim. But if you use those numbers, it would be ridiculous. Like, you would have to lower the rim for the women to like 5 feet. And if you go the other way, like if you keep the rim 10 feet for women and you raise the rim for men, according to vertical jumps, it would be like 20 feet. So I think you should use track and field, because track and field gives you perfect metrics for athleticism between men and women. And you should use the world record in the men's high jump compared to the world record in the women's high jump. And if you do that, you should lower the rim to 8.5 feet for women. And if you kept the rim 10 feet for women and raised it for men, according to those two records, it would be 11.5 feet, right? Still manageable. But you gotta lower the rim for women, because I would love to see the way women talk trash on each other after dunking on each other. That's something we need to see. I need to see the female version of talking trash after dunks for women. You know what I mean? Or they say stuff like, wow, it seems like you don't even mind that I dunked on you so hard. Yeah, it's so crazy that you're so okay with getting dunked on so much. Wow, the way I just dunked on you, I would never be able to handle it if somebody dunked on me that way. You were so strong. Oh my God, I'm so lucky. You probably would have blocked that dunk I just did on your face if you were like 10 pounds lighter. I'm so lucky you're okay with being that big. All right, man. I think that's an episode of Break the World. I think we're done here. Definitely go subscribe, rate, review wherever you're listening to this podcast. I think it helps if you do it wherever you're listening, but definitely it helps if you're doing it on Spotify and iTunes. But thanks for tuning in to this episode of Break the World, and I'm out.